This is Jack Vaughn for CertSOA.com, speaking today with Neil Ward Dutton, Research Director for MWD Advisors, and based in Britain. This is a BPM and Business Rules Specialist House, really some analysis of every kind of integration issue over the years. Neil, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I guess so, Jack. Yeah, I've been looking at this space for quite a long time now.
Well, we've always enjoyed your commentary. Glad to have you with us today. I just thought I'd ask quickly. BPMN has come to be BPMN 2.0, and here at the beginning of 2012, we're seeing more manifestations of it. What is the effect? What's the overall take on where it's at and how it might change things?
It's a great question, Jack, and I'll try and keep it brief because there's probably too many angles to cover. So I think something important has happened around BPMN 2. It's really a lot to do with the maturing of the market for this kind of technology and also the political kind of landscape, if you like, between the different vendors. So I think there's a lot of stuff you can be down on with BPMN 2. You can be kind of negative about it. If you look at the standard in its totality, it's really complicated, very deep, probably way too elaborate for most of what most people would want to do. What it does have is the advantage of is real momentum and a lot of companies with a lot of money putting a lot of effort behind it. So it's the closest thing we have right now to a universally kind of accepted way of a notation for modeling different kinds of workflow and work process. And one of the things that has been quite welcome, I think, in battling some of the complexity around that is introduction of different kind of levels of conformance. So tools can support a relatively small subset or a real core subset of the standard, which is useful in high-level abstract modeling situations. Or they can support a slightly more elaborate subset, which is more about deeper analysis. And then there's the full conformance, which is actually not terribly well supported in reality today. But it's welcome, I think, because, just to recap, it does provide that kind of central point of standardization where people can start to see, okay, there's a bet here that's common and I can get training around this and I know that my skills are going to be kind of portable across products. And that's an important thing, even though if you look at the standard in its entirety, it's heinously complex.
And it is part of the effort there is to have executable models?
Exactly right, and that's where a lot of the complication comes in, because initially it was very much around helping people discover and kind of agree on models of processes and do a requirements elaboration for systems and so on. And as it's gotten more effort and interest from a lot of the platform and infrastructure vendors and also from the OMG, the Object Management Group, it's been kind of extruded out into something which is also aimed at being something for modeling executable apps. So really, potentially requiring only very minimal elaboration through scripting or coding. And that does mean that, you know, there's a lot of quite esoteric semantic detail in there which most people won't really need to get anywhere near. But overall, it does make it kind of scary if you look too hard.
Yes, well, I did. As I said to you before, I looked at it one evening, and yes, I was scared. Just to ask you, because we were talking before about integration, about BPM in general, and wondering what is the cutting edge of the frontier today? And you were pointing out something that a lot of people are actually familiar with. It's where you go, you buy a cell phone, and you expect a fairly complicated bundle to be created fairly quickly. So is this one of the sort of real-time enterprise examples of BPM today, and how are people going about doing that successfully? What's the role of the architect?
Right. Right. So absolutely, I think it's a great example. You know, those kinds of businesses where more and more of the expectations around kind of real immediacy, and there's a lot of online self-service transactions that take place, and that would cover obviously telecoms and financial services, but also, you know, many other kinds of retail and digital entertainment business and so on. In many cases, if those suppliers and, you know, telecoms providers are a great example, if they've got a real heritage and they've been around for a long time, you can bet that the seamless experience they're trying to give you at the front end has no bearing on reality in terms of the back end. The back end is still a slow-moving mass of kind of elephants waltzing to a scary kind of psychedelic something or other. Trying to orchestrate that and give you some kind of seamless experience is a real challenge, and so those are great kind of exemplar scenarios of where you really need kind of BPM technology, process automation platforms, to be really well architected and integrated into existing systems. And, you know, those may be real transactional, kind of just simple request response kind of integrations. It may be more of an asynchronous kind of pattern. If you're, you know, sending notifications out to billing systems or reconciling something like that, it may be more of an MDM kind of interaction where you need to make sure that you're dealing with a customer that you think you're dealing with. Maybe they've been a customer before. There's actually many different kind of integration patterns that all need to be pulled together in a seamless way that operates in a very high performance way, and also gives you room to have humans part of the picture, because in many cases these back-end systems, you know, that there are many scenarios where you can't do everything automatically, so you need to be able to very predictably and a very high quality way engage people to deal with the exceptions and to resolve issues in a way that only humans can oftentimes. So those are very challenging scenarios, and you see these kind of real-time high-performance scenarios becoming more and more common in, as I said before, these online businesses where people are trying to drive more effective online experience with the customer and also more profitable interactions with customers, cross-selling, upselling, offering dynamic incentives to people around, you know, renewals and things like that. That really places some really significant demands on good architecture, correct application of, you know, stateless architectures, in-memory databases. A lot of kind of cutting-edge stuff is now kind of being assembled by those kind of companies.
Yes, and if the buyer is unhappy, they go to the Twitter system, and then your stock price starts falling, plummeting all of a sudden.
Exactly right, and you know, that's the world we live in. You know, reputation is very easy to lose, and it's very important to keep. And competition is, you know, tougher than ever, because increasingly regulation demands that switching costs are low, and it makes for a tough environment for people.
Well, Jack Fond, thanking Neil Ward Dutton for being with us today and telling people that to keep in touch. So glad to be here on searchsoa.com.